And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Savage. Savage live from Beverly Thrills. Today's show is entitled, Come Back America. Come Back America. After years of this fraudulent, backstabbing, phony administration, America is craving someone to save us from this sickness of liberalism. I'll give you an example. Local San Francisco story. French tourists mugged on SF's Twin Peaks. Three French tourists snapping photos on a Twin Peaks hill were robbed of their passports, cameras, and money. Officials said Tuesday. Ha! You know, the difference between an official and an unofficial in San Francisco is, you know what? One of the victims, an 81-year-old man, was shoved to the ground, lost consciousness. Three victims and a witness told authorities there were two male suspects. Authorities were looking for the suspects. Of course, there's no descriptions of the suspects in San Francisco. It is free of suspects unless they're white males who are Christian and wearing a cross who love Donald Trump in America. In San Francisco, everyone else is a victim. But we pretty much know who the criminals were, don't we? We pretty much know who they were. No, they're not ISIS, that's for sure. They're busy raping 8-year-old girls. While the phony American and Western women's movement, which doesn't exist at all except to attack white heterosexual Christian males, says virtually nothing about the slaves, slave markets, kidnapping, rape of 8-year-old girls by these vermin in the Islamic State. We'll talk about that in a minute. In addition to the wave of refugees, which is really an organized invasion being conducted by George Soros and his puppet, Donald Obama. But I want to talk about something else, which is the race warfare that Obama has sparked in America, which is spreading like a retrovirus, invading and destroying our defense cells. An autoimmune disease is less to fear than Barack Obama. Headline, black professor chastises white Americans saying admit to the racist poison inside of you. Now how could a professor say a thing like that unless he felt empowered by the chief racist in the White House? A so-called Emory University professor wrote an open letter which was published by the morons in the New York Times. Some professor of philosophy, George Yancey, a real genius. Another one. You know, in America, anyone could be a professor, as you well know. Especially if they're a minority, then right away they're a philosophy professor. So this moron writes a letter called Dear White America. And he called his letter a gift to white people. As you read this letter, he said, take a deep breath. Make a space, blah, 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 blah. He says he's failed women. And so he now wants white people to admit that they're racists. He says it's painful to let go of your white innocence, to use this letter as a mirror, one that refuses to show you what you want to see, blah, blah, blah. Responsibility for those who live under the yoke of whiteness. Of course, the yoke of whiteness has permitted a loser like him to become a professor. The yoke of whiteness permits a loser like him with a low IQ to even call himself a professor. That's the yoke of whiteness. So he writes, I'm asking you to enter into battle with your white self. I'm asking that you open yourself up, speak to, admit to the racist poison that is inside of you. Mr. Yancey, the philosophy professor, went on to claim that all white people are part of a racist system. And he goes on to tell you to touch your child's hair tonight and understand that your child is also fundamentally a racist because they're white. Now, we would dismiss this as something coming out of Hitler's Germany in reverse, which means it's the same thing as the racism that Hitler's minions put out against Jews, Slavs, and others is equivalent to what this racist black professor is saying about white people. Do you get what I just said to you? Do you understand how sick the country has become under Dr. Obama, who is like a maniac doctor? It's like a maniac doctor in a madhouse who tells everyone to look for the racist inside of themselves and turn it on white people. Because a phony like Obama could never have gotten anywhere was it not for division and race warfare and sex warfare. and economic warfare. He wouldn't have gotten out of the starting gate without all of those tactics. Welcome to the show again, live from California. Come Back America is the title. The real story that agitated me this morning is ISIS releasing a rape handbook to their scum, to their subhuman fighters, who, as far as I am concerned, should be rounded up. Oh, I don't want to go into it. It's a family show. I would use cluster bombs on them, and those that I would capture, I would throw into an arena with live pigs and put it on pay-per-view so the world can see the ISIS fighters screeching like the little girls they really are when they have no power. All of the vermin of the world, the losers of the world, the type of men, the subhumans that joined Hitler to torture innocent people in concentration camps, the world's losers are coming from around the world to join ISIS, which makes them a convenient target for a neutron bomb, now that we know where they all live. We used to be told, I remember 10 years ago, oh, you can't use warfare against radical Islam because it's everywhere. There's no organized state. There's no organized nation. There's no organized city. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. They're all in a couple of cities now. And so if we had a real leader who really wanted to wipe ISIS out, it could be done in a few days. But I've said to you for months now that ISIS is a creation of the United States of America and several other Western powers. It's a Frankenstein that was created to take down Assad as a factotum army and let them do the dirty work, after which time the Western powers figured they would then take on ISIS and dismember them. But instead, they became a rabid mad dog army of insane people, which is winning, by the way, not losing. So they release a handbook on how to treat your sex slaves. 15 sickening new rules revealed. A new guidance on the rules of rape put out by the Islamic State. Emphasis on I. New rules set out how members of the terrorist organization may treat their sex slaves. A Muslim fatwa was issued back in January, according to documents seized by U.S. Special Ops, which have only now been released. Now that Obama's on vacation, I guess the government is not as oppressive as it would be once he's back, the chief retrovirus. And it begins like this. I'm not making up one word for those of you who say this is not Islam. One of the graces which Allah has bestowed upon the state of caliphate, is the conquest of large surface areas of the country. And one of the inevitable consequences of jihad is that women and children of infidels will become captives of Muslims. Attention, liberal morons! That means you and your children, you idiots, you! Go vote for Hillary, you psychos, you! Quote now, consequently, it is necessary to clarify some rules pertaining to captured prisoners to avoid any violations of Muslim rules in dealing with them. Here are the new rules for those of you who say it's not Islam. One, are you ready? It is not permissible for the owner of a female captive to have intercourse with her until after she has had a menstrual cycle and become clean. You see how clean these men are? You see how advanced they are as a civilization? I mean, they do have rules. So if she's 9 years old and she hasn't menstruated, they're so kind that they won't rape her, unless someone's not looking. Two, if she does not menstruate and is pregnant, he is not allowed to have intercourse with her until after she has given birth. So don't tell me ISIS is not compassionate. This is a very compassionate army. Three, it is not permissible to cause her to abort if she is pregnant. So you see, they're very conservative in a way. They don't believe in abortion. They want another soldier being born or another sex slave. Four, if the owner of a female captive releases her, only he can have intercourse with her, and he cannot allow someone else to have intercourse with her. Five, if the owner of a female captive who has a daughter suitable for intercourse has sexual relations with the latter, he is not permitted to have intercourse with her mother, and she is permanently off limits to him. You see, they are very compassionate. This is a very sane organization. For those of you who argue it's not Islamic, you have to understand this is based upon Islamic interpretation by the chief bugaboo who looked into the Quran for this advice. Number six, the owner of two sisters is not allowed to have intercourse with both of them. Rather, he may only have intercourse with one. The other sister is to be had by him. If he were to relinquish ownership of the first sister by selling her, giving her away, or releasing her. You see, so in many ways they think like progressives do. 7. If the female captive is owned by a father, his son cannot have intercourse with her and vice versa. Moreover, intercourse with his wife's female captive is also not permissible. 8. If a father had intercourse with his female captive, then gave her away or sold her to his son, he is no longer permitted to have intercourse with her. And don't tell me that they're not civilized with rules. These are all based on Quranic laws, by the way. 9. If the female captive becomes pregnant by her owner, he cannot sell her and she is released after his death. You see how kind it is? So he rapes her until he drops dead from sexual exhaustion. Let's say she's 10 and he rapes her till he's 50. And finally he dies. So after 40 years of being raped, he releases her. So don't tell me it's not a compassionate derivation of Islam, please. 10. If the owner releases his female captive, then he is not permitted to have intercourse with her afterwards because she has become free and is no longer his property. If two or more individuals are involved in purchasing a female captive, none of them are permitted to have sex with her because she is part of a joint ownership. That is so incredibly legalistically advanced. I'm just flabbergasted how advanced they are. 12. It is not permissible to have intercourse with a female captive during her menstrual cycle. Well, because they're very clean. These are clean men. I mean, these paintings are as clean as the driven snow. Look at that. 13. It is not permissible to have anal sex with a female captive. Well, sorry about that. Sorry, you progressives. You can't join ISIS now. 14. The owner of a female captive should show compassion towards her. Be kind to her, not humiliate her, and not assign her work she is unable to perform. 15. Of the sex rules of ISIS, the Islamic State, the owner of a female captive should not sell her to an individual whom he knows will treat her badly or do unto her what Allah has forbidden, because Allah is so kind that he permits them to have sex slaves and to sell them on the auction block. This shows you how kind Allah is. It is now approximately 18 minutes after the hour, which means it's time to release the strike jets on our aircraft carriers, if we had a commander-in-chief, and drop the cluster bombs, the bunker-busting bombs, any other bomb we have to put the women out of their misery and take these vermin and send them to Allah land. And you can drop a package of bacon along with the bomb. I am so sick reading this. We can't put up with this anymore. The apologists for Islam, the apologists who tell us it's not based on Islamic law, should be ashamed of themselves. You know, the black professor insists that white Americans should admit to the racist poison inside of you. I would say, Mr. Black Professor, what would you have to say about Muslims who don't admit to the hatred inside of them towards everyone who is not a Muslim? Should they look inside themselves, Mr. Black Professor? For what is worse, your imagined white racism or the very real Islamic murder and slavery and kidnapping that's ongoing while you put together your racist diatribes? This is the Savage Nation. ISIS releases a rape handbook to fighters with 15 sickening new rules revealed, while the sick lying progressives in the West turn a blind eye to all of this. I'm sorry to bring you the bad news during Christmas week, but unless we get a real leader willing to wipe these vermin off the planet, there will be more girls screaming in misery around the clock. Back in a moment.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCO. We just read a rape manual put out by the Islamic State that was written by one of the chief animals, one of the holy animals in the Islamic State, based on Quranic law. And I keep hearing from the apologists it's not based on Islam. Well, we understand that most Muslims don't practice these things, but it is based on Islamic law. That's simple. Mark on WABC, you want to comment? Please go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I just found it very interesting when I read the 15 laws that it's somewhat similar to the laws that can be found in the Bible.
Of course, I've covered that before, right? It's found in the Old Testament in Leviticus. And so what is your point? Do you know any Jews who practice slavery with young girls?
My point is that, you know, listen, I'm an Orthodox Jew. I have friends that are very...
I understand that. Some of these insane rules are in the Old Testament. I get that. They're sickening. But they're based upon your ancestors' practices, not yours. Isn't that correct?
Correct. So what I want to know is, since they hate Jews so much and they hate Christians so much, why are they utilizing the whole menstrual cycle? These are common.
Oh, okay. I hear what you're saying. In other words, if they hate Jews, why do they take most of their laws from Judaism, from the original Bible? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll have to ask them. You'll have to ask them why they took it from the Jews. Then they want to kill the Jews. What is it? What more do you need to know about them, about these fundamentalist Muslims?
It's just really sad. It's sad.
Would you like me to go into details on why we're getting this insanity in the world now? Would you like me to talk about inbreeding and what it does? Because I've covered this on an entire show. Do you know how many members of ISIS are the results of genetic inbreeding? In other words, they're morons. Do you get that?
Yeah.
In other words, the lowest IQ found in the entire Islamic world is attracted by ISIS. Because of inbreeding, marrying cousins, for example, you do know there's a high degree of cousin marriage in that community. Are you aware of that?
Correct. I'm helping.
All right. Well, I know an awful lot about it. It's been studied in great detail. The inbreeding that is rampant in some of the primitive Muslim communities produces mental defectives who join ISIS. And you got to remember that Hitler used mental defectives to work in his concentration camps. I don't know if that answers any questions or opens up new ones. Live from Beverly Thrills, California, on a remote location. I don't know how much longer I'll stay here. Cost me a fortune to build a studio. I'm ready to go home already. What's the point of traveling? Nothing works right. Is the sound good? I hear the sound is good, except when I yell, it's a little overly loud. We can't control my actual emotional reactions to these things, which get me so crazy. I don't know how much more of it I can take. I want to wake up one day and I want to see them dead. I want to wake up, I want to see ISIS bodies littering the desert. I want to see them screaming like schoolgirls as special forces run in and real men run in to take them on instead of the girls that they're kidnapping and raping. I mean, I really want America back. I want it back so badly, but I'm not going to get it back. Not now, not for a while yet. Oh, no. No. The thin smoker is snorkeling in Hawaii right now, climbing Cocoa Head Crater like he's climbing Mount Everest. Make him believe he's on a real hike. Imagine he climbed Cocoa Head Crater, which a schoolgirl could climb. With one foot, she could hop up the Cocoa Head. He made it look like he hiked up a cliff. It's better than Al Gore with the canoe. Okay, what's this? I can't even read it. Line 4, Tom V. something, whatever. It's not coming up on the screen. Tom, what's on your mind today?
Dr. Savage, I think every time we talk about ISIS or the Muslim refugee crisis or our traitorous politicians like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, we also need to talk about George Soros and the Zionists that are pulling everybody's shirt.
Hold it. You know I'm the biggest critic of George Soros in the world. Now, why are you jumping to Zionist? Well, where does George Soros and Zionist come into the same sentence?
Well, the Kalergi plan, and
In other words, look, I know you're a white Jew-hating racist from somewhere in the deep South. I get that, but to link George Soros with all Jews is insanity.
Well, what about Bibi Netanyahu? Kind of steering.
He's a great man. He's one of the greatest Jewish leaders of all time. What about him? What do you want him to do? Roll over and turn his children into slaves for the Muslims? We're just talking about Muslim sex slaves. What do you want, Bibi Netanyahu to roll over to Hezbollah and say, take our girls?
Well, Bibi Netanyahu's got...
If we had a Bibi Netanyahu running America, we wouldn't have the problems we have.
He is running America.
Okay, so in your sick mind, Zionists are the problem for everything, including ISIS. You're so demented that you think ISIS are Jews now.
Pal, I'm a veteran with an honorable discharge. I really don't
care if you have a silver star and a green star and the Medal of Honor. You're still a racist.
No, pal.
You're blaming Jews for everything because it's in your DNA. You're racist in your DNA. So for you, wherever you turn, you pick up a rock and you see a worm, you say the Zionists put the worm there.
They don't control the media?
Who's they?
The Zionists. Bibi Netanyahu.
Bibi Netanyahu controls the American media?
Sentence. So you won't let me finish the sentence, pal.
Well, you can't finish a sentence because you don't have the brain power for it. You've been talking to your racist Ku Klux Klan friends for so long you can't finish four words and make sense out of it. Who would let you talk any longer than me? You just made an idiotic statement. You said Bibi Netanyahu controls the Zionists, controls George Soros. You're lumping everyone together. What is your main point, Tom?
My main point is when Donald Trump said we needed a temporary stay on Muslim refugees, Bibi Netanyahu piled on him as well as everybody else.
So, wait a minute, sir, I don't know what Bibi Netanyahu has to do with that statement. I don't get it. Are you implying Bibi Netanyahu controls Donald Trump now?
Scheduled. Trump had a visit scheduled, and Bibi Netanyahu nixed it after Trump made his Muslim statement about a temporary stay.
So that proves now in your mind that the Jews control everything?
It's not that simple. It's not that blatant.
Tom, you're a war hero, you say. You never met a Jewish person that you liked? Have you ever met a Jewish person that was decent?
Did business with a fellow, I'm not going to say his name, over the air for 10 years. A guy, he's passed away now, but we got along great.
Okay. Did you ever go to a Jewish doctor who removed a pimple from you and did it well?
I don't know that I've ever been to a Jewish doctor.
So what's your solution, Tom, to throw the Jews out of America? Is that what you're getting at?
No, but I think what we need to do...
Oh, no but. So what's the but got there? You just said no but. So what is your final solution?
My final solution, I know what you mean by that.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you were that well read. I mean, amongst the books on your table, I'm sure there's the Holy Bible and Mein Kampf.
I go right to the answer, and you won't listen.
Probably the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, and maybe a few books by a few of your other friends that I haven't seen yet. Well, what's on your reading table for tonight? What magazines do you read?
I bought your book to support...
The Modern Stormtrooper, How to Cleanse Your White Sheets After a Burn-In. I mean, what else do you read? Sanitizing Your Sheets for the Holy Days? I can't imagine what he would have on his... What magazines does he get delivered to his doorstep in a plain brown wrapper? Sanitizing your sheets for a burn-in. I thought that was funny. Removing soot from your white sheets after burning a cross outside a synagogue. That'd be a fresh magazine. The short version. All right, we get the picture. So, you see, here's the problem. When hate rears its ugly head in a nation, as it is right now because of what Obama has done to this country... Everyone has someone to blame. In some cases, there's a rational connection to that blame. In other cases, there's no connection to the blame. But it doesn't stop people from bringing up their favorite hate objects. Do you understand this? So you got black professors now saying all whites. Look at this article. Black professor, so-called, says all white Americans need to admit to the racist poison inside of you. And, of course, the idiots at the New York Times publish it and call him a philosophy professor. George Yancey is about the equivalent of, in my mind, in my day, a guy like this, believe me, wouldn't have been a philosophy professor, George Yancey. I can't imagine what job he might have held, but it wouldn't have been philosophy professor, I can guarantee you. In fact, if it wasn't a family show, and I wasn't afraid of ramifications, I tell you what, George Yancey, black philosophy professor, the most he could have achieved in my day, I'd like to tell you what it would have been. But I can't right now on the Savage Nation. I kind of respect my position too much. Okay, WABC New York, Andrew, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's your point and what's the topic?
It's the black professor. Speaking of racism, that professor does more damage to the black community than any racist could.
But so does Obama. That's what they want to do. They want to stir up the black community. They need more Fergusons. They need more Baltimores, don't they?
You know, because you were a former social worker in the inner city, you see the single moms and you see the government dependency that Obama and the leftist policies. Holder supports letting crack dealers in the black communities back out on the streets earlier because he said the laws were racist because the white cocaine dealers
I heard that lie, right. The same powder is a little heavier and denser, and therefore it's racism. I've heard that for years. So release crack dealers. Let me tell you something. I know black people told me that crack destroyed the black inner city community. It went through it like the Grim Reaper. It destroyed the entire inner city community. Crack was the worst thing that ever hit the inner city black community in this country. Do you know that?
I remember in the mid to late 80s, it was devastating. And Holder and Obama and the black professor, they're not going to live in the housing projects with the single moms and the crack dealers. So they're actually a detriment to the black community.
Well, by the way, you know, you raise an interesting question that occurred to me the other night. I tried to do the math. When were the crack babies an epidemic? When was there an epidemic of births amongst crack mothers in this country? Was it in the mid-80s?
Mid to late 80s.
Okay, so let's say late 80s. Let's say 1985. We're now 2015. So that would make some of the crack babies who are still alive, how old are they? 30?
Right, mid-30s.
30. They're about 30 years old, the ex-crack, the surviving crack babies. Where are they today? Where are those people who survived the crack epidemic, who were born to crackhead mothers? Where are they? I mean, where are they? Working or?
That's a good question.
Where are they? Where would they be today?
In rehabs or they're in jail. Some of them are dead. Some hopefully turn their lives around. That's what I hope for. And I support the black.
You mean they're not all neurosurgeons like, haven't all become neurosurgical professors?
Not Obama and this professor, definitely not. But I support the black community. That's why I fight against these liberals that harm them. Thank you, Dr. Savage.
All right. Well, this man remembered that I actually was a social worker for many years. He's one of the few listeners who knows the history of the man behind the voice. I am the only person in the major media who actually worked at so many important professions where I actually know reality. I don't just read, some websites. I was a social worker on the Upper West Side of New York. I can tell you some stories one day, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe another day. What I learned, it started to turn me from being a wild-eyed, progressive, liberal kind of kid. My father hated me for it. He thought I was insane, which I was. It was temporary insanity. I went to Queens College. My brain was being washed by commie professors who fled Europe. I came here, and the first thing he did was brainwash us. I came up with ideas that my father wanted to throw me through a window for what I was saying. He knew I was crazy. It was a temporary insanity. But I thought he was wrong for being so harsh. And he would say to me, don't worry about it. You'll learn one day. You'll find out what your ideas will bring you. I can hear him to this day. But you know, in many ways, we're still our fathers, no matter what we think. We are our fathers. We're our fathers. No matter how we try to not be our fathers, we become our fathers. Do you know that? That's something I want to talk about one day. For men only, which is not a political thing. It's maybe a psychological thing. Let's say you had a father you didn't like because he was too harsh on you. Well, let's say you had a father you didn't like because he was too weak. I mean, let's take two types. The weak father and the overly strong father. So the overly strong, chastising father usually produces a son who's a rebel, who says, I'm not going to let him get to me. I'm going to be stronger than he thinks I am. And he becomes strong like his father. And then he becomes just like his father to his own children. Even though he said he wouldn't, he becomes, in essence, his father, who's overbearing on his own children. Then you have the weakling father, where the mother wears the pants in the family, as we used to say, before the gender insanity infected America's psyche. And the weak father usually produces a rebellious son as well. And you remember the movie Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean, the great movie? Even if you've never, you didn't have to live through that time period. It was so well staged where the character played by James Dean came from a home in Los Angeles, middle class. The father wore an apron in one of the scenes. He was doing the dishes. And James Dean used to plead with his father to be a man. All he wanted was his father to be a man, not a kind of a weakling kind of guy. His father was sweet and nice. I actually wished I had a father like him. When I watched that movie, I wish to God my father put on an apron and washed the dishes once in a while and was nicer than me, but he didn't. But that character, played by his father, who was a beautiful, nice man who was trying to be nice to his son, produced the rebel. Remember the movie Rebel Without a Cause? The son rebelled against the weak father. I don't know, this has nothing to do with ISIS talking about female sex slaves or the organized invasion of Europe and America by refugees promulgated by none other than George Soros, who in my opinion is an international war criminal. And if I really could go into the details of what he's doing to the world, you will see that he's one of the most evil geniuses that has ever lived, who has nothing but malice in his heart, in my estimation. Now, I haven't gotten to what I really want to do today yet, and that is this. Oh, there's two things I want to do. Remember I did a Savage newsletter the other day where I said minorities like Donald Trump, that you're all wrong about it? Remember I was the first to say that to you, that I was reading obscure polls that I thought were reliable, and I told you why Hispanics would vote for Trump and not for a mean old woman like Hillary? I said the Hispanic culture is a macho culture. Hispanic men do not want an old woman telling them what to do. They're not voting for Hillary. And maybe they wouldn't admit it to their friends, but they're going to vote for Trump if they vote at all. And I said, likewise, in the black community, I said, African Americans are so used to being lied to, they know that the Clintons are liars who did nothing for them. They know they can look at her and know who she is. And they say, you know what, Trump may not reflect what we want 100%, but at least the guy says it like it is. They will take a man who they disagree with, who tells them what they think is what he really believes, over a liar like Hillary. I said that the other day, and so guess what comes out today? Minorities line up behind .. Donald Trump. It's on WorldNet Daily, written by Bob Unruh. And they have new research that show exactly what I said. And it shows exactly what I said, that Trump is popular amongst minorities. So everything you're hearing from the mainstream, which I call the midstream media, because that's about what their value is to me, is a lie. Virtually everything they say is a lie. Now, when I come back, the big show story today is one of my heroes, Jerry Lewis, slamming President Obama and praising Donald Trump right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. Well, the topics are pretty awful. I mean, to be honest with you, it's easy to listen to Roy Rogers singing Jingle Bells or something like that, or watch a football game. But look, this is what I do for a living. I've got to look at the world's sickness. And as a social scientist who's trying to heal the world, you call me a talk show host, you can call me anything you want, an entertainer. It doesn't really matter what you call me. I have a huge audience. I have many successful books. The fact is that although I am showing you the sickness of the world, there's a reason for it, which is we're hoping for a cure. You can ignore a disease, and what happens? It gets worse. Or it burns itself out. With Obama, has it burned itself out? Has the illness of Obama's radicalism run its course? No, he's coming back for the kill. He's coming back to drive the sword right into the heart of the country. He's saving it up for the last go-round. He's got the cape ready, got the tights on, got the sword under the cape. He's coming back for the final assault on America's values, principles, and history. So illnesses have to be looked at in order to... First, you have to diagnose them correctly. Then you have to come up with a rational treatment. Now, it is true that most epidemics, if they're untreated, burn themselves out. That's true epidemiologically, of which I'm an expert. However, we do like to stop epidemics before they reach that point, don't we?
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Best-selling book, Government Zero. We are engaged in a religious war that went on in the past. We had religious wars that went on for a couple of hundred years. If you think this is going to end, whether it's Trump or someone else who finally steps up to the plate, you're mistaken. Radical Islam is now at war with the entire world. That means Christians, Jews, Muslims who are not compliant with their insanity, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists. They're not going to change just because you wish for them to change. And if you see how deeply embedded radicalism in the Islamic community is embedded right now because of Obama, you'll realize how much work there is remaining to be done. This just came out minutes ago. Mosque linked to Muslim Brotherhood has received millions in federal grants. I said, this can't be true. Mosque linked to Muslim Brotherhood in Kansas City, with deep ties to the U.S. arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, has received millions of dollars in federal grants over the past several years. The Islamic Center of Greater Kansas City has received $2.7 million from the Department of Agriculture since 2010, a Daily Caller analysis has found. The money largely went to the mosque's Crescent Clinic to provide services through the Women, Infant, and Children Nutrition Program known as WIC. The most recent federal payment in the amount of $327,000 was handed out on October 1. Property records show the mosque is owned by the North American Islamic Trust, which acts as a financial holding company for Islamic organizations. It offers Sharia-compliant financial products to Muslim investors, operates Islamic schools, and owns more than 300 other mosques throughout the U.S. Now, what does Sharia-compliant financial product mean? Does that mean that the knife they use to cut off the hands of thieves is spit upon by a holy man? What do I mean by Sharia-compliant financial product? You have any idea how deeply we have been invaded under Hussein Obama? Do you have any idea what it's going to take to rid ourselves of this disease? There are more stories, and one of them is more agitating than the other. And I realize the average person can only take so much. I get it. But if I can take it, you can take it. Here's another one out of Europe. Wave of refugees to Europe is called an organized invasion, not by a right-wing nut, but by the Czech Prime Minister. Czech President Milo Zeman has called the current wave of refugees to Europe, quote, an organized invasion, saying that young men from Syria and Iraq should instead take up arms against the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant. Good for him. Good for him. Young men, single and in good health. He says, I wonder why these men are not taking up arms to go fight for the freedom of their countries against the Islamic State. I wonder what that's about. Well, he calls it an invasion. I guess he's now going to be called a Nazi by the progressives who work for George Soros' front companies. Phone number here is 855-407-282. This is Michael Savage live from Beverly Thrills, California. And though I told you I would report on Rodeo Drive today and who the number one shoppers are, like what country, I didn't go out there. So I couldn't go down there. I didn't want to look at the shoppers. I may get to it today. New Year's Eve is looming. Another black hole. I can't wait till that's over. Thank God the holidays are almost over. I can't wait for them to be done. Back to normal. Don't tell me you're having a good time on vacation. I love it. Where are you on vacation? What are you doing? They can't wait to get back to work, most men. The guys who took off from radio, they're listening to me because they're monitoring. They feel like they're falling behind. Their wives, the children, yeah, we're with family the whole week. Yeah, can't wait to... Yeah. They ran back to the house or the car somewhere to listen to the only one broadcasting today, me, who's not on vacation, because I don't want to be on vacation. I have home studios wherever I go on vacation, which is nowhere. I have a home studio now in Beverly Hills because I have family here. I'm probably going to spend a little time down here getting away from the sickness of San Francisco. The illness is so overwhelming. The illness of progressivism is like a disease, a seeping, insane disease that gets worse by the day. But I love the city, and I love the mountains, and I love the bay. I love the birds, and I love the bees, and they're not going to drive me out. It's mine as much as theirs. 30% of the people live in the Bay Area are conservatives, by the way, who have zero representation. And, you know, the same is true in many metropolitan areas that have been invaded by immigrants. 30% of the population, generally the hardest working, the tax-paying part of the population, hate the governments that have taken over these cities, hate them, and they have zero representation. I wouldn't mind if there was a progressive element of a government, but there's no other element of governments in San Francisco or New York City or so many other liberal bastions of insanity where welfare states are growing like cancer. You look at Hawaii. Let's take a look at Hawaii, for example, to show you how sick a place can get. The birthplace of our dear president. There was a governor, Neil Abercrombie. He was as liberal as they come, a friend of Obama, progressive his whole life, played the union card very well, became governor, and then he made a mistake. He was running for governor again, and he dared say to the unions, you have to rein in your pensions because we can't afford it. They destroyed him. They destroyed him. The unions are controlling the state of Hawaii. The unions control the state of California. That's how a man as crazy as Jerry Brown, as incompetent as Jerry Brown, could become governor again. Because the unions wanted a stooge in Sacramento who does nothing to control their pensions and their demands. So you say, how does this end? I don't know how it ends. You run out of other people's money, I suppose. You keep printing it and stealing it from the hardworking people until eventually there's no one left to rob from. I don't know. I don't know how it ends. So there were a lot of problems, and I don't know that they're all soluble. I really don't. And I think, therefore, that is why I focus on, to me, if you take all the problems that are facing America, you can't deal with all of them. You can go crazy from it. So what you have to do is focus on the most important, and to me, that's national security. Obama gets less than zero on national security. He has failed us utterly. He has decimated the military. Read Government Zero. I document it. I name the officers who he fired, who he drove out of the military. I go through every department in this country in Government Zero. I don't expect the book suddenly to become a raging bestseller again because I mentioned it. There is no better documentation for what Obama has done to this country than my masterpiece, Government Zero. None. The book is a classic of information with references to every statement. For whatever it's worth, if you really want to know what he's done and what he's doing and what he might do before he's out of office, if he ever does leave office, a big question mark, you can check it out in Government Zero. So the number one issue is national security. He did nothing against the Islamic State until Russia finally showed him up for what he really was, and now all of a sudden he's Mr. You know, Commander-in-Chief. So we open the show today talking about the despicable rules that ISIS put out on how to treat slaves, sex slaves, a rape handbook. Not one word from any of the fraudulent women's groups in America. You know, if you listen to the show long enough, that I'm a sexual libertarian. I've said that for 10 years because it's true. I don't care what people do with each other as long as it's consensual, sexually now, and there are no children involved. In that sense, I'm a sexual libertarian. It's not for me to judge you, and you're not to judge me. However, I don't understand how gay women, or lesbians, if you want to put it, I don't know what the proper term is, are not up in arms screaming about the rape handbook. I don't know how they cannot go crazy over this. I guess I just ask for too much from people. Where are the advocates for these poor women being raped to death in the Middle East? Certainly not to be found in America. Then we had the story of the black so-called professor of philosophy here, who says that white Americans should admit to the racist poison inside of you. Let's not go there again. This is a result of affirmative action, why you'd even have to hear a thing like this. And we didn't get yet to Jerry Lewis, who was one of my heroes. I remember since I was a little boy, I loved his work. As a comedian now, I didn't know he was a philosopher. I never thought of Jerry Lewis as a philosopher, but you think anyone is that smart. You don't know this about Jerry Lewis. I've studied him because he's such a great comedian. I once read a biography of him. You know that this guy was so smart that he developed lenses, special lenses for cameras to film his movies with, because they did a different size of a picture or something for the screen. The man was involved in the most minuscule details of his own movies. He wasn't just a clown. Like all great performers who you think are just one thing, they're really more than that one thing. That goes for every medium, including talk radio. Those of us who are really on top in this field are sticklers for details, and we know, you know, we should know all the elements of our craft. In addition to talking, we should also know about the microphone, microphone levels, things of that nature. Oh, I just got a pain in the left side of my neck. Why did I say that? Because I'm problems with my microphone. So before we get sidetracked, we don't even have time to play it. We play one Jerry Lewis thing. Okay, here's Obama. And what was he on? The what channel was this on? This came to us from the Christian something room. What's EWTN? I don't know what it is. Well, it would be nice if someone spelled it. See what I mean by sticklers for details? No one knows what EWTN is, because I didn't say to him, spell it out before the show. Okay, here is Jerry Lewis slamming Obama in clip two.
You can't really knock the president per se, because he was never given to understand that's out there. He was never ready. He was never prepared for it. And what I'm watching in him is uncertainty. And you don't have uncertainty in a leader. A leader doesn't give a what he does, but he gets it done.
Next on ISIS, clip three, please.
You got to remember something, that ISIS has attacked the world.
Right.
Okay? And we've got, all of a sudden, I'm wondering, where are all of our NATO allies? Why don't I have Germany and Italy and Great Britain? Why don't I have all of them, including Spain, doing something? Get all of your military together, bring that military to our military, and wipe them out. They're asking to be stopped. And we're not stopping, and we're just reporting what they're doing. That's ridiculous.
A comedian would be a better commander-in-chief than the imposter from Honolulu. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640.
And what do you think about the refugees? Allowing
refugees should stay where the hell they are.
They say there's a humanitarian crisis. They're fleeing. They have to come to America.
Hey, nobody has worked harder for the human condition than I have. But they're not part of the human condition if 11 guys in that group of 10,000 are ISIS. How can I take the chance? Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose another Frenchman or another Englishman.
Jerry Lewis, comedian, knows more about politics than the president. More common sense than a comedian who must be 90 today. He must be 90, right? He's how old? Look him up. I remember seeing him live when I was a kid. Oh, I don't know. I was a wee lad. Catskill Mountains, like Jerry Lewis was on stage at the Browns Hotel. And I remember going up to getting near him. He was, you know how it is when you're a kid, you idolize people. Entertainers are like gods. Ball players, can you imagine what Mickey Mantle looked like to me? I actually have a baseball, for those of you who are baseball nuts. From the Yankee Stadium from 1954. Can you believe it? I still have it in a drawer somewhere. It must be worth $10-$12 today. Now, the baseball collectors will say, Mike, it's worth... I don't know. It's not for Mickey Mantle. Not signed by him. Don't get me wrong. It was a foul ball. How I, as a pipsqueak kid, got it, I don't know, with the crowd killing each other for it. It says Yankee Stadium with a date from 1954. Was stitched. It's a lot of the stitches. But I remember Jerry Lewis when I, you know, you see him on the screen, so he's a jerky clown, right, as a kid? Hey, yeah! Like a spastic loony. And kids loved him because they all, see, kids all feel weak and like, kids feel weak, losers, outsiders in an adult world. So when they see a comedian going like, hey, yeah! Acting like a stupid child, they love him. So I see him in person. He's 6'2" and good looking. I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't know what a skilled actor he was. Did he go from being a big guy to being like a schlemiel type in a movie? I'm just saying, you know, how people are deceptive in person. The same with Obama. You look at him, you listen to his voice, you're booming, boom, taking on the world. And then you see a picture of him. He looks like he's 98 pounds. You don't know what's what anymore in the world. Everything is a distortion. All we know is this, is that we don't have a commander-in-chief that we can trust. We're losing the war against ISIS. The country is being overrun by illegal immigrants. The country is bankrupt financially. Let's put aside all of my philosophy and politics for a minute. From a fiscal point of view, we're bankrupt. You may not know it, but we're bankrupt. Obama's a criminal. All he's doing is printing money. Janet Yellen, in the same time, she's in a dark cell somewhere. She's in Florence, Colorado for what she's doing to the economy. Florence, Colorado would be too good for these people. Printing money around the clock to feed the disease of the welfare state. Not reining in a dime. Don't talk to me about Paul Ryan. Don't start it with him. He's the Quisling of our time. He is the Quisling of our time, running a Democrat party within the Republican Party, the same way that Quisling ran a puppet Nazi party inside Norway after Hitler invaded. Paul Ryan is the Quisling of our time. They are all fundamentally criminals and gangsters, all part of the same gangster regime. What, because they wear a white shirt and tie and they don't wear a uniform? It means that they're not acting like demagogues or like criminals of an invading army? Eternal World Television Network, EWTN, Jerry Lewis. All right, they had him on. I'm trying to get Jerry on. Hey, Jerry, I don't know if you listen to the show, but you and I would agree. Jerry, Savage calling. We'll reminisce about you and Buddy Hackett and roast pork on garlic bread sandwiches up at the Loch Sheldrake. I don't want to hear the Rolling Stones ever again. They're part of the poison. They are the devil. Now, I look back on the 60s when the Rolling Stones, I should look up to him because he dances like a moron at 80. They're part of the disease. They encourage people to get stoned and to get high on marijuana, you know, all the high on cocaine, marijuana, drugs. I'm supposed to look up to Mick Jagger? To me, a pox on all of them. I'm sick of this hero worship. If you want to know how America got degraded to the point where ISIS can make such a stronghold against such an attack upon us and we don't respond, how we can be invaded by illegal aliens and the men of the country don't stand up and demand a stop to it, go back to the 60s and study the playbook of the communist revolution. And you will see a connection between the flooding of drugs, the rock and roll, the whole thing all put together. That's why they give each other awards day and night. They're part of the same machine. All right, Anki, you sound like I'm just an old, angry guy. Well, I'm angry, that's true, and I'm not too old, but I'm really angry. I'm proud to tell you I'm really angry. And I'm sick and tired of apologizing for being angry at what's being done to my beautiful country, being stepped upon everywhere I turn. It's getting me sick that no one represents me. So when I find a soundbite where even Jerry Lewis, how old is he, Robert? Did you look it up? Still 89 years old. He has more sense than the thin smoker in Hawaii. Slams Obama, praises Donald Trump. Did you hear this one yet? Okay, next one, clip 5, Jerry Lewis.
What do you think of Donald Trump?
I think he's great.
Why?
Because he's a showman.
Mm.
And we've never had a showman in the president's chair.
Well, you had Ronald Reagan. He was a bit of a showman.
Well, that's different.
Uh-huh.
That was, you can't make a comparison with Ronald Reagan. Because I can do 3 hours on him with just praise. He was so good.
See, right away, the interviewer tried to already put him down. Then we have, on the other side of the coin from Jerry Lewis, the evil racism of Samuel L. Jackson, Jr. I used to like this guy as an actor. I'm now on a boycott mode. If I see him in a movie, I turn the channel. I won't even let my cable channel record that I'm watching anything with this racist pig in it. It's not the first time Samuel L. Jackson, Jr. has shown his racism, by the way. In the following clip, in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Samuel L. Jackson, Jr. exposed himself for being a hater of the highest order. He said he wanted the San Bernardino shooter to be another crazy white dude. And you're going to see his movie put out by Harvey Weinstein's distributing it? Harvey Weinstein, another prize American. Maybe the ADL can give Harvey Weinstein another gift. Listen to this now in clip 6.
When that thing happened in France, we're sitting there going, oh, my God, these terrorists. And all of a sudden, I can't even tell you how much that day the thing was happening in San Bernardino. I was in Hawaii. How much I really wanted that to just be another, you know, crazy white dudes. And not really the Muslims, you know, because it's like, oh, shit, it's here. And it's here in another kind of way. Now, okay, it happened on an army base and it happened somewhere else. But now, it's like, you have a legitimate reason now to look at your Muslim neighbor, friend, whatever, in another way now. And they become the new young black men.
Oh, man, you're down with them, huh? You're down with them, man. That is so cool. You're down with the young Muslim men. Well, lock arms together and march in the streets for ISIS, Sammy. Sammy, get yourself a black flag and march in the streets. So he exposed himself for what he is. Hates whites. Hoped it would be a white man, but it wasn't. And now it's okay to look at your Muslim neighbor friend. And they become the new young black men. I've known young black men who weren't like what he's describing. I don't know, what does he only know, young black men who are rebels and revolutionaries who hate America? I met many young black men who don't hate America in my lifetime. When I was a young teacher, I taught at all black schools. Not everyone wanted to be like Samuel L. Jackson Jr. Not everybody wanted to be like Martin, what's his name, whatever the one. Jackson, Jesse High. What has High Jackson has to say recently about ISIS? Nothing? Doesn't affect him? Can't put anything in the kitty from it? No marching for Jackson in solidarity with American victims of radical Islam? Or old Al Sharpie Tongue? Old Sharpie Tongue has nothing to say about ISIS? No, he just wants Cincinnati and Cleveland to burn out. Where do they get all these marches in every city over every time there's a police incident? Right away, bing, out of the woodwork. Give me minus 10. Bingo. There they are. They're marching already. All right. Line 5. KSFO, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please. Actually, yeah, KSFO. Bill.
Hi. I wanted to ask, well, not ask, but comment that I was, with all due respect to Jerry Lewis for his charity work and technical advances in the industry, I used to mostly consider him in the same vein as you characterized Woody Allen, Jerry Seinfeld, Larry David.
I know, but he isn't in that category, is he?
Well, no, I've repented of my false view, I guess you'd say. But
So you're saying you thought he was another liberal comedian, right?
I had him pegged as that, yeah.
All right, so what is the purpose of the call? You're confessing?
You might say, or I wondered if you had ever had the same thoughts.
Okay, so you're asking a question. I never thought of Jerry Lewis from a political point of view. I know that he was roundly attacked for being a great humanitarian. For 30 years, the guy raised money on Labor Day, and then all of a sudden he woke up, he was being attacked for exploiting the very people he helped with multiple sclerosis. I couldn't understand that part of it, how the liberals attacked the very man who was so good to children and people who were victims of MS. I never understood where that came from. Thank you, Bill. 855-47282 is the phone number that opens up a single line on the Savage Nation. WABC Kevin, thanks for calling from New York. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Michael. Listen, why doesn't Samuel Jackson ask why they shot the two black women in California during that shooting? And I want to make a point about that.
Hold on, slow down. Wait, who shot who, what black women?
San Bernardino shooting. There were two black
women. Why the young Muslims who he has suddenly down with? How they shot black women in the San Bernardino office?
Well, let's open this up for a second. Okay, when you observe postal shootings, witnesses, survivors say that he shot the guy right next to me, he looked at me and shot the next person, the supervisor. They selectively shoot who they execute in these shootings. How could you shoot black women? Muslims, how could Muslims shoot black women? The two black women, you would think they would have put them out of the room. And I want black...
Well, you would also think that the liberal media would have shown the faces of the San Bernardino victims repeatedly so we all can join together against radical Islam. What do you think?
A beautiful black 27-year-old and another lady, a black lady...
Well, I guess Samuel L. Jackson Jr. didn't see that story you're talking about.
He didn't care about black women. I mean, in reality, that's the sad reality, but
the sad reality is he's just a stupid actor who got lucky. Because a lot of white people go to his movies.
Right. And I think someone should confront him with that question. I wish somebody would ask Samuel.
Yeah, right. Sure, in Hollywood, when he walks down the red carpet. Why don't you look at the ads that Samuel L. Jackson Jr. is doing? Isn't he advertising a credit card now? They threw Alec Baldwin off, didn't they? I remember now. Baldwin was thrown off that lucrative fat account. Now they got this racist guy doing ads for that credit card? Maybe someone ought to look into that. Why don't you rip up your credit card? Whatever he's selling. You have the power of the purse. You can react to those people.
Mike,
he doesn't like white people. He wishes that the Muslim killers were white. My goodness, how much lower does it get than that?
Why'd they shoot the black women, Sam? Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I can't wait till it's over already. I don't know what I'm... Does anyone do anything New Year's Eve? Hey, the Trump in there. Hey. Even when I was a kid, I didn't go to Times Square. I knew losers went there from out of town. Who goes to Times Square? I was told even when I was a kid, don't go there for New Year's Eve. You'll get a pickpocket or someone will put a knife in your back. I never went. Who would go to Times Square for New Year's Eve to see the ball fall? And what, are we waiting for 2016? So that's all. And then what? What's happening in 2016? What's happening then? The same thing, and the nothing to look forward to for the average person. From January 1st, do you realize you have nothing to look forward to come January 4th? I think the first holiday doesn't appear till February. It used to be called Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday. Now they named it something else. They took away Lincoln and Washington from us. Then there's nothing like a long haul until spring, until Easter. It's a long one. I remember when I was a kid in school, it was a nightmare after the holidays. Snow and slush and geometry and algebra and trigonometry and pencils and SATs. Man, it was a mess. High school was one of the worst years of my life, those years. Horrible. College was even worse. It was only when I got to graduate school that I actually enjoyed school, or meaning learning, because I could study what I was interested in instead of repetition of junk. The undergrad wasn't bad at Queens College. It was still a great school at that time. It was before open admissions when they let robots in. You know, with open admissions, they could have let a robot in to take a course. And if the robot failed it, they would have said there was robotism. Sears robotism that stopped the robot from advancing. A robot, they would have sat in the seat. And if the robot failed the test, yeah, it was robotism that did it. It was based on robotism. Then you could have robots marching. Stop the robotism. We must end robotism at Queens College. You think we'll ever have the country back? Remember the theme of today's show? Come back, America. Come back, comma, America. Theme of today's show. Do you ever think we're going to get America back? Do you actually think anyone has the capacity to undo all the years of this fraud in the White House and then the years before him of the bumbler? The bumbler who ruined America first? And then the 8 years before him of Hillary Clinton's ruination of America? Oh, it's like the first time you've seen her. She was president already. She was running the country. He was diddling in the other room there. When he was running the country, he used the opportunity of the office to get ahead with women. She was running the country, probably. What's this on the Drudge Report? Anxiety, a sixth sense which could save life. I agree, 100%. I think I said this to somebody the other day that, who was I talking with about it? That stress is underestimated in terms of its value to our species. I've lived with anxiety my whole life. Look how well I've done. Who wants to live without anxiety? Then you're brain dead. You know that the normal state of a human being is actually to be slightly anxious all the time? Robert, I'm not kidding you. You don't believe it. Young people don't want to believe it. They think that they're going to reach a point in life where they have no stress. No. Stress is part... See, I study nature, so I know what stress is. Stress is what keeps us sharp, keeps us on our toes. I'll give you a simple Michael example. You know, I'm not near the bay right now. I'm in Southern California, but in the north, I live near the water. Every morning, I wake up and throw stale bread to the birds. Why? Because I always have too much bread. I'm a gluten maniac. I love gluten. A day without gluten is a day without sunshine to me. I love gluten. Love it. It's the staff of life for me. Morons, gluten-free. I never saw anything like this. The staff of life going back to Mesopotamia is wheat. Suddenly the idiot hippies grew up. Oh, it's not the same wheat. It's my Monsanto did it. They ruined wheat. You can't eat it. I stopped eating it and I became a perfect person. Yeah, perfect person. Psychos on medication day and night. It's not this, it's that. Always looking for the single thing that caused all their problems. So anyway, I like to throw the bread, because stale. To me, stale bread is day old. I don't like anything that's not fresh at all. But you can't get bread in San Francisco unless you live near a bakery. In the suburbs, you know what the bread tastes like? Like at the outskirts of Cleveland. Horrible. Nothing. They don't know what a bagel is outside of New York. And even there, I don't eat them. You want a real bagel? I don't know where to get one today. What is a bagel anyway? It's basically boiled dough. They should be boiled, not baked. But I don't want to get distracted for a minute. I want to talk about birds. Let's say I have three stale bagels, and I throw the bagels in the water. I don't throw them at once. I go, zoom, zing, zang, 10, 20 feet apart off my deck. So the birds come flying off the roof, the seagulls, who I love to watch. They'll all go for the same bagel. They'll fight over the same bagel. But there's two more floating that I threw in the water. Boom, bang, bing. They'll go for A. They'll go for bagel A and start pecking each other with the big beak until one little shrimp seagull, the runt seagull, the Schmendrick seagull, who's afraid of them, who's afraid of the scrimmage, he waits for the other morons to fight over the first bagel, and the Schmendrick seagull flies in from the other side and grabs it. What I'm saying is it's in the human condition, the animal condition is what I'm getting at, to fight over things. It's the human condition. It's in the animal world. They fight over everything, even when they don't have to fight. And it makes you tougher. It's called survival of the fittest. So when you have a nanny-ninny society like ours, where they take away games and they take away tag even, the sick women who are running these things, the ninny state, I wouldn't even call it the nanny state, the sissy state is what it really is. The sissy state is trying to make it into a world that can't exist. And I study nature to know what the real world is. That has absolutely nothing to do with anything that has preceded this conversation on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. I am live back with you from Southern California, Michael Savage. Basically, we're talking about a dance of death in the West, which is the opening line to my book, Government Zero. How you stop this dance of death is anyone's guess right now. I mean, I have 20, 40 points to do Save America, but no one seems to care about how to save America. Let's take one quick caller. Line 2, WVNN Radio Guy. Go ahead, please. Comment or question. What's on your mind? Guy, go ahead, please.
If you could just
another superb failure on the Savage Nation. Another great job of call screening and preparing the caller. Where is the caller? What's everyone's? Where is he? I can't hear him.
I'm in Huntsville.
Guy, where are you? Okay, Mark, line 5, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Actually, my call screener is shot. It's completely disconnected. Jim, put up line 2. Put him on the air. I can't hear him. We can't get any calls up. So what's the point of fighting it? I have two crack team members working around the clock and no callers. No callers. That's zero. No callers on the board. No callers on the show. So I'll just conclude by saying to you that there is a dance of death in the West. An actual death in the Middle East. We heard today about a rape manual being put out by ISIS, and nothing is being done to stop these maniacs by Barack Obama, who continues to lick an ice cone in Hawaii.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. The real story that got agitated me this morning is ISIS releasing a rape handbook to their scum, to their subhuman fighters, who, as far as I am concerned, should be rounded up. Oh, I don't want to go into it. It's a family show. I would use cluster bombs on them, and those that I would capture, I would throw into an arena with live pigs and put it on pay-per-view so the world can see the ISIS fighters screeching like the little girls they really are when they have no power. All of the vermin of the world, the losers of the world, the type of men, the subhumans that joined Hitler to torture innocent people in concentration camps, the world's losers are coming from around the world to join ISIS, which makes them a convenient target for a neutron bomb, now that we know where they all live. We used to be told, I remember 10 years ago, oh, you can't use warfare against radical Islam because it's everywhere. There's no organized state. There's no organized nation. There's no organized city. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yeah, there is. They're all in a couple of cities now. And so if we had a real leader who really wanted to wipe ISIS out, it could be done in a few days. But I've said to you for months now that ISIS is a creation of the United States of America and several other Western powers. It's a Frankenstein that was created to take down Assad as a factotum army and let them do the dirty work, after which time the Western powers figured they would then take on ISIS and dismember them. But instead, they became a rabid mad dog army of insane people, which is winning, by the way, not losing. So they release a handbook on how to treat your sex slaves. 15 sickening new rules revealed. A new guidance on the rules of rape put out by the Islamic State. Emphasis on I. New rules set out how members of the terrorist organization may treat their sex slaves. A Muslim fatwa was issued back in January, according to documents seized by U.S. Special Ops, which have only now been released. Now that Obama's on vacation, I guess the government is not as oppressive as it would be once he's back, the chief retrovirus. And it begins like this. I'm not making up one word for those of you who say this is not Islam. One of the graces which Allah has bestowed upon the state of caliphate, is the conquest of large surface areas of the country. And one of the inevitable consequences of jihad is that women and children of infidels will become captives of Muslims. Attention, liberal morons! That means you and your children, you idiots, you! Go vote for Hillary, you psychos, you! Quote now, consequently, it is necessary to clarify some rules pertaining to captured prisoners to avoid any violations of Muslim rules in dealing with them. Here are the new rules for those of you who say it's not Islam. One, are you ready? It is not permissible for the owner of a female captive to have intercourse with her until after she has had a menstrual cycle and become clean. You see how clean these men are? You see how advanced they are as a civilized civilization? I mean, they do have rules. So if she's 9 years old and she hasn't menstruated, they're so kind that they won't rape her unless someone's not looking. Two, if she does not menstruate and is pregnant, he is not allowed to have intercourse with her until after she has given birth. So don't tell me ISIS is not compassionate. This is a very compassionate army. Three, it is not permissible to cause her to abort if she is pregnant. So you see, they're very conservative in a way. They don't believe in abortion. They want another soldier being born or another sex slave. Four, if the owner of a female captive releases her, only he can have intercourse with her, and he cannot allow someone else to have intercourse with her. Five, if the owner of a female captive who has a daughter suitable for intercourse has sexual relations with the latter, he is not permitted to have intercourse with her mother, and she is permanently off limits to him. You see, they are very compassionate. This is a very sane organization. For those of you who argue it's not Islamic, you have to understand this is based upon Islamic interpretation by the chief bugaboo who looked into the Quran for this advice. Number six, the owner of two sisters is not allowed to have intercourse with both of them. Rather, he may only have intercourse with one. The other sister is to be had by him if he were to relinquish ownership of the first sister by selling her, giving her away, or releasing her. You see, so in many ways, they think like progressives do. Seven, if the female captive is owned by a father, his son cannot have intercourse with her and vice versa.
Moreover, intercourse with his wife's female captive is also not permissible. Hey, if a father had intercourse with his female captive, then gave her away or sold her to his son, he is no longer permitted to have intercourse with her. And don't tell me that they're not civilized with rules. These are all based on Quranic laws, by the way. 9. If the female captive becomes pregnant by her owner, he cannot sell her, and she is released after his death. You see how kind it is? So he rapes her until he drops dead from sexual exhaustion. Let's say she's 10, and he rapes her till he's 50, and finally he dies. So after 40 years of being raped, he releases her. So don't tell me it's not a compassionate derivation of Islam, please. 10. If the owner releases his female captive, then he is not permitted to have intercourse with her afterwards because she has become free and is no longer his property. If two or more individuals are involved in purchasing a female captive, none of them are permitted to have sex with her because she is part of a joint ownership. That is so incredibly legalistically advanced. I'm just flabbergasted how advanced they are. 12. It is not permissible to have intercourse with a female captive during her menstrual cycle. Well, because they're very clean. These are clean men. I mean, these paintings are as clean as the driven snow. Look at that. 13. It is not permissible to have anal sex with a female captive. Well, sorry about that. Sorry, you progressives. You can't join ISIS now. 14. The owner of a female captive should show compassion towards her. Be kind to her. Not humiliate her and not assign her work she is unable to perform. 15. Of the sex rules of ISIS, the Islamic State, the owner of a female captive should not sell her to an individual whom he knows will treat her badly or do unto her what Allah has forbidden, because Allah is so kind that he permits them to have sex slaves and to sell them on the auction block. This shows you how kind Allah is. It's time to release the strike jets on our aircraft carriers if we had a commander-in-chief. And drop the cluster bombs, the bunker-busting bombs, any other bomb we have to put the women out of their misery and take these vermin and send them to Allah land. And you can drop a package of bacon along with the bomb. I am so sick reading this. We can't put up with this anymore. The apologists for Islam, the apologists who tell us it's not based on Islamic law, should be ashamed of themselves. ISIS releases a rape handbook to fighters with 15 sickening new rules revealed, while the sick lying progressives in the West turn a blind eye to all of this. I'm sorry to bring you the bad news during Christmas week, but unless we get a real leader willing to wipe these vermin off the planet, there will be more girls screaming in misery around the clock. So I look at the news and I see nobody will say one word about how to actually defeat ISIS. You know, I like to watch boxing matches. I noticed something in a boxing ring. You know what I noticed? One guy tries to beat the other guy's brains in. It's real interesting. And then after it's over, they hug each other because they're human beings. I like the sportsmanship. With rare exception, after pummeling each other to kill him, when one guy knocks the other one out, okay, afterwards they go shake his hand. We got to kill the other person. Kill him, kill him, kill him. Knock him out, over, get the game over with. Then we'll worry about the sensibilities of the good Muslims. That's number one. Stop already shaking in your boots with the good Muslims. How many of them have stepped forward? The good Muslims. Oh, the good Muslims. I'm sorry. Let's see the good Muslims. Here we go. You remember the Muslim massacre in San Bernardino just a few weeks before Christmas when Santa came to town? But instead of Santa coming to town, two Muslim maniacs came to town. Farouk and the other one, the witch in a burqa, and freak, the freak and the burqa job. Listen to this. What did I say to you on this show the day of that massacre after it happened? We knew who did it, but we knew it was the freak, two Muslim freaks. What did I say to you? What did I say to you? I said, get in that mosque where these two bums went. And pull them out by their whatever they're wearing and shake them out somewhere. Give them a rubber hosing. Nobody would go in the mosque. But finally, a month later, the FBI goes in. Here's the headline. Cleric. Now he's a cleric. You hear? Cleric denies ties to San Bernardino killers as phone records surface. Look, if I were conducting the war, here's what happens. You want the war over with? Make believe you're General MacArthur, because we know we're losing the war. 40% of Americans say the terrorists are winning. You hear this? That's because A. Obama is playing either for the other side or not playing at all. That's a given. That's a given. The only reason this thin phony started conducting the war is because Putin made him look like what he is. So he said, uh-oh, I better show him I really care. A year now, biggest air force in the world. What'd he do? Nothing. He blew up sand, this phony. 40% of Americans say terrorists are winning. 40%. It'd be more like 140% if you're talking about people with a brain. Not diehard morons who don't even know about the rapes, the murders, the kidnappings, the slave markets. There's a simple way to end this war. It's not as complex as you are hearing. Don't you love all the people on TV when they talk about this ISIS thing? I watched Fox News last night, and I got a news that, look, they're smart people, they're good-looking, they're intelligent, this and that. No one said anything. Mincing words, this and that, the hen, and the hun, the hem, and the hi, the good Muslims, you can alienate, we really need them, we must have them, unless you're on this side, you're going to alienate all of them, we don't want to turn. I heard the same thing a million times. Stop already with the good Muslims. Don't tell me about the good Germans. Let's focus on killing the Nazis. And then the good Germans will step forward. I'm sick of this. We're losing the war against ISIS because we have a capitulating... I don't have words for him. In fact, when people... And if someone runs into me and starts me off politically, I have to stop. I become apoplectic. How this man has not been thrown in prison for what he has done to America and the world is beyond me. So you say, what man are you talking about? Fill in the blank. There's quite a few. Fill in the blank. Everyone on the left. How's that? Let's start with that. Now winnow the list down and separate free speech out from sedition. And you know who I'm talking about. I mean, it's one thing to say you're a liberal. It's another thing to undermine police, undermine the flag, undermine father, undermine mother, undermine the military, undermine everything decent in the world, and call yourself a liberal. Back in a moment.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. So we just read a rape manual put out by the Islamic State that was written by one of the chief animals, one of the holy animals in the Islamic State, based on Quranic law. And I keep hearing from the apologists it's not based on Islam. Well, we understand that most Muslims don't practice these things, but it is based on Islamic law. That simple. Yeah, I don't know how much more of it I can take. I want to wake up one day and I want to see them dead. I want to wake up, I want to see ISIS bodies littering the desert. I want to see them screaming like schoolgirls as special forces run in and real men run in to take them on instead of the girls that they're kidnapping and raping. I mean, I really want America back. I want it back so badly, but I'm not going to get it back. Not now, not for a while yet. Oh, no. No. The thin smoker is snorkeling in Hawaii right now and climbing Coca Head Crater like he's climbing Mount Everest, making believe he's on a real hike. Imagine he climbed Coca Head Crater, which a schoolgirl could climb. With one foot, she can hop up the Cocoa Head. He made it look like he hiked up a cliff. It's better than Al Gore with the canoe. Now, I want to backtrack for a minute. Remember I did a Savage newsletter the other day where I said minorities like Donald Trump, that you're all wrong about it? Remember I was the first to say that to you, that I was reading obscure polls that I thought were reliable, and I told you why Hispanics would vote for Trump and not for a mean old woman like Hillary? I said the Hispanic culture is a macho culture. Hispanic men do not want an old woman telling them what to do. They're not voting for Hillary. And maybe they wouldn't admit it to their friends, but they're going to vote for Trump if they vote at all. And I said, likewise, in the black community, I said, African Americans are so used to being lied to, they know that the Clintons are liars who did nothing for them. They know they can look at her and know who she is. And they say, you know what, Trump may not reflect what we want 100%, but at least the guy says it like it is. They will take a man who they disagree with, who tells them what they think is what he really believes, over a liar like Hillary. I said that the other day, and so guess what comes out today? Minorities line up behind ... Donald Trump. It's on WorldNet Daily, written by Bob Unruh. And they have new research that show exactly what I said. and it shows exactly what I said, that Trump is popular amongst minorities. So everything you're hearing from the mainstream, which I call the midstream media, because that's about what their value is to me, is a lie. We're talking about fighting for our survival, which is what we're doing. Most Americans who have a brain say that the vermin in ISIS are winning. The radical Muslims are winning. That's because Obama has dragged his hands, or feet, or whatever you want to call it, has not dropped weapons to those who are fighting them, won't even give Jordan the heavy weapons it needs. If you can believe this, and he's getting away with it, it's beyond belief. Gets to go to Hawaii, joke around with the Marines, hangs around amongst them as the true enemy within, uses them as cover for being the patriotic commander-in-chief, and no one dares say the king has no clothes. Only in this case, this king does have clothes. Yeah, this king has clothes, all right. It's not that this king has no clothes. This king is wearing a robe, Jackson. This king's wearing a robe. Of course the terrorists are winning. How is that even possible? How did we defeat Hitler in 3 or 4 years? How is that possible? Fought a war on two fronts. Germany, Japan. We gave it our all and we won our antecedents. They won. Because we had a war leader. A liberal, but a war leader. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Yeah, I know, he locked up the Japanese, blah, 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 I get it. Well, look into that a little more deeply. You'll find out that he did it for a reason. You find it wasn't all based on fear and racism and resentment. There was a reason for it. What you don't know, by the way, in World War II, because it's left out of the PC history books, is that the Italians were also put under a microscope, and the Germans, in case you don't know it. See, I happen to be a little knowledgeable about these things. What I'm getting at is, if you're going to listen to the liberals, we're all going to die, one at a time. They're going to kill us by a thousand strokes. You know, as I pointed out in my best-selling book, Government Zero, we are engaged in a religious war that went on in the past. We had religious wars that went on for a couple of hundred years. If you think this is going to end, whether it's Trump or someone else who finally steps up to the plate, you're mistaken. Radical Islam is now at war with the entire world. That means Christians, Jews, Muslims who are not compliant with their insanity, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists. They're not going to change just because you wish for them to change. And if you see how deeply embedded radicalism in the Islamic community is embedded right now because of Obama, you'll realize how much work there is remaining to be done. This just came out. Mosque linked to Muslim Brotherhood has received millions in federal grants. I said, this can't be true. Mosque linked to Muslim Brotherhood in Kansas City, with deep ties to the U.S. arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, has received millions of dollars in federal grants over the past several years. The Islamic Center of Greater Kansas City has received $2.7 million from the Department of Agriculture since 2010, a Daily Caller analysis has found. The money largely went to the mosques, Crescent Clinic, to provide services through the Women, Infant, and Children Nutrition Program known as WIC. The most recent federal payment in the amount of $327,000 was handed out on October 1. Property records show the mosque is owned by the North American Islamic Trust, which acts as a financial holding company for Islamic organizations. It offers Sharia-compliant financial products to Muslim investors, operates Islamic schools, and owns more than 300 other mosques throughout the U.S. Now, what does Sharia-compliant financial product mean? Does that mean that the knife they use to cut off the hands of thieves is spit upon by a holy man? What do I mean by Sharia-compliant financial product? You have any idea how deeply we have been invaded under Hussein Obama? Do you have any idea what it's going to take to rid ourselves of this disease? There are more stories, and one of them is more agitating than the other, and I realize the average person can only take so much. I get it. But if I can take it, you can take it. Here's another one out of Europe. Wave of refugees to Europe is called an organized invasion, not by a right-wing nut, but by the Czech Prime Minister. Czech President Miloš Zeman has called the current wave of refugees to Europe, quote, an organized invasion. saying that young men from Syria and Iraq should instead take up arms against the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant. Good for him. Good for him. Young men, single and in good health. He says, I wonder why these men are not taking up arms to go fight for the freedom of their countries against the Islamic State. I wonder what that's about. Well, he calls it an invasion. I guess he's now going to be called a Nazi by the progressives who work for George Soros' front companies. New Year's Eve is looming. Another black hole. I can't wait till that's over. Thank God the holidays are almost over. I can't wait for them to be done. Back to normal. Don't tell me you're having a good time on vacation. I love it. Where are you on vacation? What are you doing? They can't wait to get back to work, most men. The guys who took off from radio, they're listening to me because they're monitoring. They feel like they're falling behind. Their wives, the children, yeah, we're with family the whole week. Yeah, can't wait. They ran back to the house or the car somewhere to listen to the only one broadcasting today, me, who's not on vacation, because I don't want to be on vacation. I have home studios wherever I go on vacation, which is nowhere. I have a home studio now in Beverly Hills because I have family here. I'm probably going to spend a little time down here getting away from the sickness of San Francisco. The illness. The illness is so overwhelming. The illness of progressivism is like a disease, a seeping, insane disease that gets worse by the day. But I love the city, and I love the mountains, and I love the bay. I love the birds, and I love the bees, and they're not going to drive me out. It's mine as much as theirs. 30% of the people who live in the Bay Area are conservatives, by the way, who have zero representation. And, you know, the same is true in many metropolitan areas that have been invaded by immigrants. 30% of the population, generally the hardest working, the tax-paying part of the population, hate the governments that have taken over these cities, hate them, and they have zero representation. I wouldn't mind if there was a progressive element of a government, but there's no other element of governments in San Francisco or New York City, or so many other liberal bastions of insanity, where welfare states are growing like cancer. You look at Hawaii. Let's take a look at Hawaii, for example, to show you how sick a place can get. The birthplace of our dear president. There was a governor, Neil Abercrombie. He was as liberal as they come, a friend of Obama, progressive his whole life, played the union card very well, became governor. Then he made a mistake. He was running for governor again, and he dared say to the unions, you have to rein in your pensions because we can't afford it. They destroyed him. They destroyed him. The unions are controlling the state of Hawaii. The unions control the state of California. That's how a man as crazy as Jerry Brown, as incompetent as Jerry Brown, could become governor again. Because the unions wanted a stooge in Sacramento who does nothing to control their pensions and their demands. So you say, how does this end? I don't know how it ends. You run out of other people's money, I suppose. You keep printing it and stealing it from the hardworking people until eventually there's no one left to rob from. I don't know. I don't know how it ends. So there were a lot of problems, and I don't know that they're all soluble. I really don't. And I think, therefore, that is why I focus on, to me, if you take all the problems that are facing America, you can't deal with all of them. You can go crazy from it. So what you have to do is focus on the most important, and to me, that's national security. Obama gets less than zero on national security. He has failed us utterly. He has decimated the military. Read Government Zero. I document it. I name the officers who he fired, who he drove out of the military. I go through every department in this country in Government Zero. I don't expect the book suddenly to become a raging bestseller again because I mentioned it. There is no better documentation for what Obama has done to this country than my masterpiece, Government Zero. None. The book is a classic of information with references to every statement. For whatever it's worth, if you really want to know what he's done and what he's doing and what he might do before he's out of office, if he ever does leave office, a big question mark, you can check it out in Government Zero. So the number one issue is national security. He did nothing against the Islamic State until Russia finally showed him up for what he really was, and now all of a sudden he's Mr. You know, Commander-in-Chief. So we open the show talking about the despicable rules that ISIS put out on how to treat slaves, sex slaves, a rape handbook. Not one word from any of the fraudulent women's groups in America. You know, if you listen to the show long enough, that I'm a sexual libertarian. I've said that for 10 years because it's true. I don't care what people do with each other as long as it's consensual, sexually now, and there are no children involved. In that sense, I'm a sexual libertarian. It's not for me to judge you, and you're not to judge me. However, I don't understand how gay women, or lesbians, if you want to put it, I don't know what the proper term is, are not up in arms screaming about the rape handbook. I don't know how they cannot go crazy over this. I guess I just ask for too much from people. 40% of Americans say the terrorists are winning. No kidding. Yeah, Americans. What do they know? What there? Huh? What terrorists? Huh? San where? San Juanino? All I know is what? Hollywood and then baseball. And 40% of Americans say the terrorists are winning. 40. That's what, a people with a brain? 100% know that we're losing. Because of old Barry boy. 17% of Americans say they have a great deal of confidence that President O can protect the nation. While 20% say they have not much confidence in O, and 30% say they have none at all in President O. Are you joking? Why don't you ask this question? Do you think the president should be impeached now or 7 years ago? Okay, let's do it this way. When do you think President Obama should be impeached? Now? A year ago? 2 years ago? 3 years ago? 4 years ago? 5 years ago? 6 years ago? Or 7 years ago? 7 years ago? Okay. Make that the poll. See what the answers are. 10% say 7 years ago, 20% say 6 years ago, 30% say 5 years ago. You want a poll? That's, by the way, that's a CNN-ORC poll, foreign poll. 40% say the terrorists are winning. Are you joking? Ask the guys on the front line who is winning and why we are losing. Ask them. Ask the brave men who risk their lives every day, whether it's here in America taking down the vermin, taking them down on highways all across America as they're transporting weapons, ammunition, hate literature. Ask the cops who are pulling them in whether we're winning the war while Schmendrick is in Hawaii doing curls and playing golf. I saw an article. New strain of super gonorrhea puts disease at risk of becoming untreatable, doctor warns. Gonorrhea is at risk of becoming an untreatable disease. Due to the continuing emergence of antimicrobial resistance, says the doc. All right, so. All of the cases occurred in heterosexual patients from northern England. But some patients reported partners in other parts of the country. I love the word partner. In my day, a partner meant someone in business with you. Call someone your partner. What do you mean partner? Now, that's like a new word. It came out of the gay community, partner. You can't say husband or wife. It's too... partner. Gonorrhea is the second most prevalent bacterial sexually transmitted infection that is required to be reported, with chlamydia being the first. Well, hey, I'm sorry, the CDC has to change those rules. You shouldn't have to report any disease. I think it's discriminatory to have to report any disease at all. I would say disband the CDC and eliminate reporting on any disease. You'd be in the same position we're in now. But here's the question. What's more untreatable, super gonorrhea or radical Islam? No, it's like, what does one thing have to do with the other? Well, they don't, really. But it says, new strain of super gonorrhea puts disease at risk of becoming untreatable. So I asked myself a question, what's more untreatable, super gonorrhea or radical Islam? Because right now, with Dr. Obama in office, it looks to me like radical Islam's winning, like it's untreatable. Why? Because he won't use the antibiotics that we have. They're called cluster bombs. They're called bunker-busting bombs. They're called cruise missiles. There's an awful lot of medicine that old Dr. O is not using against the gonorrhea of our time, the human gonorrhea. The gonococci in headscarves. That has a rich flavor to it, doesn't it? Oh, and you don't want to offend anyone's religion, do you? You want it to blow up your child's school?
No, I don't really want that either, but I think you're being overly harsh. Your language is a little too harsh. Why don't you speak in measured tones, like everyone on television? Speak in measured tones, like on Fox News, where they're very polite, although I don't agree with them. When they discuss these things, it's done very politely.
That's why we're losing the war, you moron. Because we don't need polite. You want me to start screaming and yelling and pounding the table? I can do that, too. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. Local San Francisco story. French tourist mugged on SF's Twin Peaks. Three French tourists snapping photos on a Twin Peaks hill were robbed of their passports, cameras, and money. Officials said Tuesday. Ha! You know, the difference between an official and an unofficial in San Francisco is, you know what? One of the victims, an 81-year-old man, was shoved to the ground, lost consciousness. Three victims and a witness told authorities there were two male suspects. Authorities were looking for the suspects. Of course, there's no descriptions of the suspects in San Francisco. It is free of suspects unless they're white males who are Christian and wearing a cross who love Donald Trump in America. In San Francisco, everyone else is a victim. But we pretty much know who the criminals were, don't we? We pretty much know who they were. No, they're not ISIS, that's for sure. They're busy raping 8-year-old girls. While the phony American and Western women's movement, which doesn't exist at all except to attack white heterosexual Christian males, says virtually nothing about the slaves, slave markets, kidnapping, rape of 8-year-old girls by these vermin in the Islamic State. We'll talk about that in a minute. In addition to the wave of refugees, which is really an organized invasion being conducted by George Soros and his puppet, Donald Obama. But I want to talk about something else, which is the race warfare that Obama has sparked in America, which is spreading like a retrovirus, invading and destroying our defense cells. An autoimmune disease is less to fear than Barack Obama. Headline, black professor chastises white Americans saying admit to the racist poison inside of you. Now how could a professor say a thing like that unless he felt empowered by the chief racist in the White House? A so-called Emory University professor wrote an open letter which was published by the morons in the New York Times. Some professor of philosophy, George Yancey, a real genius. Another one. You know, in America, anyone could be a professor, as you well know. Especially if they're a minority, then right away they're a philosophy professor. So this moron writes a letter called Dear White America. And he called his letter a gift to white people. As you read this letter, he said, take a deep breath. Make a space, blah, 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 blah. He says he's failed women. And so he now wants white people to admit that they're racists. He says it's painful to let go of your white innocence. To use this letter as a mirror, one that refuses to show you what you want to see, blah, blah, blah. Responsibility for those who live under the yoke of whiteness. Of course, the yoke of whiteness has permitted a loser like him to become a professor. The yoke of whiteness permits a loser like him with a low IQ to even call himself a professor. That's the yoke of whiteness. So he writes, I'm asking you to enter into battle with your white self. I'm asking that you open yourself up, speak to, admit to the racist poison that is inside of you. Mr. Yancey, the philosophy professor, went on to claim that all white people are part of a racism. And he goes on to tell you to touch your child's hair tonight and understand that your child is also fundamentally a racist because they're white. Now, we would dismiss this as something coming out of Hitler's Germany in reverse, which means it's the same thing as the racism. The racism that Hitler's minions put out against Jews, Slavs, and others is equivalent to what this racist black professor is saying about white people. You get what I just said to you? Do you understand how sick the country has become under Dr. Obama, who is like a maniac doctor, who tells everyone to look for the racist inside of themselves and turn it on white people?